Okay, so we had to get a new roof on our house this summer, which absolutely sucked because I don't know if you know this, but roofs are really fucking expensive.
I heard that in passing
I just
before.
want to tell you that a man had the audacity to sit across from me on my own dining room table in my own house that I fucking purchased.
That's horrible.
Yeah, first of all, right?
Yeah, that. Oh,
Horrible.
there's more?
And quote me, $29,000.
Jesus Christ.
For a new roof on my house. And I,
That
this is
is.
our third, I did like the rule of three, so I got three quotes. And one was from like a company that advertises like all over here. One was from a company I found online, and then one was a Craigslist guy. And
Oh.
would you believe the Craigslist guy was the cheapest, but also unfortunately he did not offer financing, so we did not go with
Oh.
him. But
Wild to do roof replacements and not offer financing. Like, who has the money to replace a roof just in the pocket?
I think my sister is doing that right now, but
Oh, I forget other people have money. That's just so, that's not an
yeah.
experience that me or any of my friends have lived.
Let's just remember that in this household there is a some would say a social worker, right? And a teacher, notoriously.
The two highest paid jobs in America.
Right, absolutely.
The lowest
And
responsibility.
in the summer, Chloe was not getting paid to teach because it was the summer.
Yep. People
And
don't realize that. Teachers do not get paid in the summer. Sometimes
so,
they can get contracts that spread out their payment for 9 months through the summer, but either way, they're not getting paid for the summer months. Fun fact, the
Yeah.
more you know, if you were one of those people that's like, oh, they get paid all summer, they don't.
Her contract right now pays her through the summer, but it's obviously just like, you know, she gets less in each paycheck.
Yeah.
But so this summer she was working for a pool company
Ooh.
and was making less than she had ever made before, which was super fun
You gotta
when you
love
have to get
that.
a new roof. But anyway, we got it financed and we put a deposit down and it was horrible. But what I'm like, right, Jesse can see that there's like a slant because we live in a bungalow, so like our second floor is like underneath our roof.
I didn't know it was a
It
bungalow.
is a bungalow, but
I'm visiting ASAP.
we have a guest room.
I need to see this lesbian bungalow. I've always dreamed of that.
We have a bulletin board in our guest room for pictures of each of the guests who have stayed there to be
That's
there.
amazing.
Yeah, but anyway, I'm like right underneath the roof, so I'm just imagining recording this when our roof was getting redone and it being like so fucking loud.
That would have been a great episode. I think
Would
that would have been legendary.
Yeah, it's been so good.
Speaking
Okay.
of legend, oh no, you have something more important
I
than
just
whatever I
have
was going to
something
say.
I just have something to say really quickly about getting your roof redone, right?
Yes.
As if that wasn't a nightmare in and of itself. They dropped. So most bathrooms have like this like exhaust pipe that's not for like the fan exhaust. It's for like essentially to help with drainage. Like it's like a really long pipe that goes like up through the roof. Sometimes it just like goes whatever. They dropped something down our bathroom drain pipe
Oh no.
and it like completely clogged our bathtub, like our shower and bathtub from being able to drain. So we
No.
couldn't like there was like just like standing water in our tub and we like snaked it and we hired a company to come out and snake it and then we you know finally we like poured like liquid plumber and it was just like standing water, like the water level did not change.
Oh
So then
no.
we had the company we had hired to snake it was like a plumbing company, whatever. They were like, yeah, we have to like rip out part of the pipe and like put new pipe in, and it was like $1,000 of work.
Oh no.
And then we had to fight with this fucking roofing company to be like, you have to pay for this.
Yeah, that's obviously their responsibility,
And they
right?
were like, we've never heard of this happening before. And I was like, literally, someone who worked for you just put like shingles down this pipe. It's like
Oh
when
my
you're
God.
a kid and you're like eating a piece of candy and you just put the candy wrapper like behind the couch, in between the couch and the wall.
It's funny that you say like a kid for something I do every day of my life.
I'm like literally like someone who works for you
Yeah, that is
just found a
crazy.
pipe in our fucking roof and was like, you know what I'm gonna do is just like put these little pieces of shingles down this pipe and like
Oh my
who knows what's gonna
gosh.
happen.
That is crazy.
And also, when we were trying to, when we were, like, fighting with them to get them to pay for it, which they sent, they ended up sending us a check for, like, half the amount, which is whatever. But, when we were trying to get them to pay for it, they were, like, we were, like, oh, well, you know, we noticed it when we went to go take our, like, the first shower after the roof was done. You know, like, we hadn't taken a shower. Yeah. And they were like, yeah, but you noticed it on Saturday, and we were done with the roof on Thursday. And we were like, okay, like, don't put us on blast. Neither of us had taken a shower between Thursday and Saturday. Like, okay. And okay, also the day that I went to go take a shower, it was me who had gone to take a shower, and I was like, oh my god, there's so much water in here, and I hate when there was like standing water in a tub when you're taking a shower, right? Thankfully we have a Pittsburgh potty, so we do just have like a freestanding shower in our basement, so I did take a shower down there, but it was
I love Pittsburgh for that. They're so real for that.
Yeah, just a nice like toilet sink shower, no walls, you know, it's great. But it was after a softball tournament, so I played 4 softball games that day, and I was so sweaty and disgusting. And I was like, hey, it'd be really nice if I could take a shower. And I couldn't. But they were really confused. They were like, but if we finished the roof on Thursday. And I was like, what is not commute?
They really said, you stinky bitches didn't shower on Friday?
To be fair, we were going to this pool a lot during the summer, and Chloe and I are both of the, like, belief that that going to the pool is not taking a shower. But your body is, like, fully getting
wet.
Wet.
Shut up. I'm sure that's the reasoning.
So.
I'm sorry.
Anyway, that's a little bit of pretty privileged problems.
That's so true. Well, that's the thing. They actually
sold my house because I'm so beautiful, so.
They looked at the two of you and they're like, there's no way these gorgeous humans would ever not shower less than twice a day. Honestly, they look so fresh and clean always.
It's like the worst thing. You have to be like two, like,
it's like being shamed when you're asking for it too, like.
It's like, all we want is for you to contribute to this, like, financial hardship we just had. And you're like, I'm so confused. Can you explain this to me? It's like, fuck off. No.
Oh, yeah. That's silly. Not silly. That's genuinely, that sucks if that happened to you.
You know, c'est la vie.
Oh, la vie. Am I right?
1, 2, 3, 4, go! Falling in love is such an easy thing to do. Girls can do it, bees can do it. Let's stop talking, let's get to it. Let's fall in love.
I just like redid our budget last night and I was like, wow, look, we have enough money to pay all of our bills, which we're so lucky to be able to do that.
That's awesome.
And then, you know, I went to the grocery store and I bought groceries that a year ago cost me, like, $45. And it was, like, $80.
No, because I had to get groceries so I could make a meal. I
like how you just, like, dropped your voice. Like, you're telling me a secret.
It's like, I don't even want to say it too loud because they might be listening. Big grocery is everywhere. I've got a plant right next to me. It might send a root message to the leaves in the store or something, but I had to get groceries so I could make a meal for my man, and what used to cost like $20, I paid like $45. It's crazy out there.
Yeah.
46 cents for a bulb of garlic? That's nonsense. That was the worst example I could have chosen.
Yeah, that is probably the worst thing.
But it used to be a lot less.
You, like, get, like, a bottle of Coke at the store or whatever. Like, 2-liter bottles used to be, like, buy 2 for $1.
Oh, yeah, and now it's, like, $2.69. I'm sorry.
You have to perform 69ing twice.
Yes, before they even let you in the store sometimes. What do you think those greeters are there for?
Man, it's stupid. Yeah, now we are shifting the purpose of our podcast to It is becoming a finance bros podcast. We are just going to discuss inflation.
Well, that's the thing. And the thing is, if you got the billionaire mindset, inflation doesn't matter, right? Like, if you're hustling and grinding every minute, every day, it shouldn't matter if you're paying double for groceries because you'll have that extra revenue from your side hustle, from your buy hustle. That's when you have sex with men and women for money, you know, to supplement your income.
Two side hustles.
I have one and a half. Wait, what are your two?
I work for church, which I have since 2018.
Yes.
And then I see clients at a private practice.
Oh, nice.
So.
I paint houses, and I run a podcast that nets me millions of dollars annually. What podcast? With my dear friend, Aaron.
Oh my god, I haven't met them. Can you introduce us?
Oh, you would love them. They're like the hottest person in the world.
That's great.
I just start hitting on you for the next hour now. Hey, you come here often?
To my house.
Sure. From my perspective, you're in my house. Think about that one. Because you're on a little tiny screen in my home. Where you live when you're not near me. I'm like a baby. I have no sense of object permanence. You live in that screen, and then when you leave, you disappear.
I mean, that is kind of what happens.
It's true. I think about that sometimes. Do we not exist to the people who don't know who we are?
If a tree falls in a forest, does it make a noise? Also, can I tell you something just while we're on the subject of finances that I had to think about this week?
Yes, I would love that.
Okay. we've all seen the horrifying, well, maybe we haven't all seen, the stocks that have increased in value this week.
Have you really seen? Are a finance bro.
The stocks that have increased in value this week, the United States military industrial complex, right?
Yeah.
This is my first job where I have a retirement fund.
Ooh.
That is, like, handled by a company.
Oh, yeah. I have
that one puts of those. That puts my money into the a stock bunch of market. Like... And my two choices are either that I just, like, let them decide what stocks to put my money into.
Yeah.
Or I have to manually decide to put my money into which stocks. Really a lose-lose from my perspective.
Truly.
I don't know what to do with that.
Did you decide? Like, have you decided? Like, what did you do?
Well, it's been a year, and I've just been letting them decide where the money to go. Yeah. But, like, if you let me decide where the money goes, it would be... I would lose all my money very
quickly. Oh, yeah. I wouldn't have... You'd be, like, I'd be negative retirement.
Listen, I've been playing a lot of Red Dead Redemption 2. I lose all my money so fast every time I play a gambling game.
Oh, yeah. When I set up my retirement fund that I had, and I no longer have, it was the same situation, but they told me if there were certain companies I didn't want to support, to let them know. But it's like, then I couldn't participate in the stock market. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, exactly.
Like, what do you want me to do?
Can you figure out something else to do with my money?
Yeah, it's like, oh, actually, could you just bury this in the ground and give me an extra $20 when I take it out?
Yeah. I'm going to be working till I die anyway.
Oh, that's what I feel like. I'm going to be working. I'm going to die at work. Maybe within the next 3 years.
Hopefully. I mean, for me, not for you. I mean, and for you. I know that I'm in your will, so.
Oh, yeah. You'll inherit all of my debt. Can you make a spite will? Is that allowed? Like, I write out who I want to have to pay my debts.
We just watched, last night we watched Casper the Friendly Ghost.
Aww.
And that's essentially a spite will, I feel like. He leaves to his daughter, like, this, like, haunted mansion.
Oh, yeah.
And to, like, he leaves all his other money to, like, charity. That's, like, kind of, you know.
Yeah.
You know, Taylor Swift has the stream that she died. I don't remember how the song goes. But in that, like...
Oh, the... Yeah, the... She dies and
she has a stream. Her daughter-in-law
kills me for her. The money. She thinks I left them in the will. Which, like, congratulations, yeah. You have a horrible relationship with your son and cut him out of your will. Like, wow!
Also, why would it be a woman who would kill you? Sexist?
Yeah, really. And you know what? There's a special place in hell for women who don't support other women.
You know, typically I'm the one who says that on this podcast, but I'm glad that it has rubbed off on you.
Yeah. No, I shouldn't say anything because I'm still recovering from the last time the Swifties tried to dox me, but...
told you your unpublished book was horrible.
Yeah! Like, go back to your flop novel. What the fuck? You don't know that yet? That was a wild day. My phone died because I got so many notifications. But, no, and that was just the most shocking thing to me was I didn't know they could read. So, like, I thought I was safe spouting off on Twitter. But I think the issue was they can't read because...
That's Leah Michelle's fans.
Oh, yeah. And, no, I can't mobilize the b****s against us. We will not survive.
Barbie? You know who's fucking annoying for real? Ashley.
Jesus Christ.
Who I truly forgot.
Oh, that, I will say, not to get too far ahead of us, Amy does says, we didn't miss you, not for a minute. And I was like, that's honestly facts. I did not notice you were gone.
I truly, especially with our, you know, unintended year-long hiatus.
Yeah.
I truly forgot that she existed.
For sure. And, like, whoever the fuck she was with was...
I had to Google search him when I was watching the episode.
So is this her last appearance, right? Like, they're definitely writing her off the show.
No, she has to be in more.
This would be a wild last appearance. She comes in, stirs up shit, and then just we never see her again. Oh, also, jump scare. At one point, and again, not to get too far ahead of ourselves, at one point, Anne's talking about how unsatisfied she is with her life, and she's like, we have three beautiful children. And I'm like, who's the third? She had a whole ass baby.
Oh, I remember. I forgot about Ashley. I remembered Robbie. Robbie
oh, see,
B. He has grown.
Yeah, I feel like, and you can't fact check me on this because we spent such a long gap. I feel like this is the first time he's appeared in like 20 episodes. Robbie is never given the spotlight that John is, and their feud behind the scenes is legendary.
When is John given the spotlight?
All the time. They don't give him lines, but they have him as a prop frequently. They could have bought a Cabbage Patch Kid for as much as they make that kid say.
Truly. Okay.
Should we introduce ourselves and get into it then?
I was going to suggest that we partake in a substance for this episode, but then I was like...
I needed it. This episode, I don't even know how to describe the things I was feeling.
Yeah.
And it would have been thematically on theme.
Truly. Okay. Well, welcome to Secret Life of Two Gay American Teenagers. My name is Aaron.
And my name is Jesse. And we're two gay teens.
And today we're going to be covering season 4, episode 14, entitled Smoking Like a Virgin.
So what was that about? That's not a reference to anything, is it?
Okay. I think there's a song called Smoking Like a Rock Star by Post Malone, which I think was definitely out when this...
That actually, he named it after this episode. It was such an inspiration to him on the album.
Or smoking like a 57 Chevy barbecue and catering in Lake City, Florida. What the fuck?
But this is just like such a wild title for me, because when I Google smoking like a virgin, the only thing that comes up is this episode. So like...
What smoke like a boss pit boss pellet grill, pellet smoker?
Okay. Oh my gosh.
I think it's funny because it is implying that it's like calling Ben a virgin, which we know he's not.
Well, I think they're talking about his galley pal.
Well,
Ben, honestly, I mean, I think I've told you this before. Being a virgin is not a physical state. It's an attitude. And Ben is definitely a virgin. That's true. Actually.
He's a born-again virgin.
I discovered that at our alma mater when a bunch of dork-ass nerds got married and presumably banged because all of a sudden all of them were pregnant. And I still hadn't had sex. And that's when I realized, no, I'm not a virgin. They are.
Yeah.
You're telling me the guy with the bowler hat that walks around with an umbrella all the time has a kid and I haven't even fucked yet? That sucks.
I know, truly. I can't even talk about it.
If he's listening, I don't mean to disrespect you. You were a nice person. But
I mean to disrespect you.
Yeah, you know what? I'm sure he would disrespect me given the chance. I am positive that he would not have nice things to say. If he is listening to this, he has other issues with us already. So, actually, you're a dork-ass virgin, even though you're married with a child. Just so you know. You know who you are. Leave it in! Yeah. Just kidding. Please don't.
His now wife was my resident.
Oh, was she nice?
She's a dork-ass virgin. I'm gonna have to cut this whole section. Not even. So, this episode was directed by Gail Bradley. Who do you think wrote this episode?
It's gotta be Brenda Hampton, right?
Brenda H. Yep.
And I knew it. I can always tell because the dialogue is somehow even more wooden. But, you know, she couldn't trust anyone else with such an important storyline.
No, she couldn't.
I'm sorry. One thing before we get too much further. Did I tell you in my darkest moment a week or two ago, I almost turned on Fat Actress by Brenda Hampton? Her show Between Seventh Heaven and this, the Christie Alley vehicle, in case you forgot. No. In case you've somehow forgotten the cultural moment that was Fat Actress.
I think that show is probably great and not fatphobic at all.
Oh, I think it's definitely super hip, current with the times. Christie Alley famously only has good opinions.
Yeah.
Is she dead now?
Fuck if I know.
For some reason, I feel like she died, and if not, I'm going to be a little, like, upset. Oh, she must have died. Her Wikipedia preview starts with was an American actress. Rip to a real one. Look who's talking, too. Not Kirstie Alley, am I right?
Okay.
I'm so sorry. That was disrespectful. Let's move on.
So, this episode aired on March 26th, 2012, and it aired to 2.51 million viewers, and I will say, I think that's the highest number of viewers until the end of the, yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. I think a lot of people dipped after this one.
No, there's a steep, steep drop-off, like, by a million.
But what I will also say, the perfect series finale was last episode, so why would you keep watching? Any normal show would have ended after last episode. After halfway through last episode, actually. The second half didn't need to exist either.
Yeah. Alright. I didn't do biblical context.
Oh, cool.
Did you?
I tried to, and then I realized I did it for the wrong date.
Oh.
So, let's throw it out. It wasn't good anyway.
How old was I? Wait, when did this air?
2012?
March 26, 2012.
Oh my gosh, that was like 5 months before my birthday.
I think that was my freshman, the spring of my freshman year of high school.
That tracks. That feels about the right time.
Right.
That was when my friend JC was watching it with his mother, which does make me curious what conversations that spurred.
Your friend JC, Jesus Christ?
Yes, Jesus Christ is always watching, and he takes a special interest when people start watching sinful shows like this. This does feel like it would have been an appropriate time in the show to do, like, a 10-year time skip a la Fire Emblem Three Houses and see where everyone ends up.
Yeah.
Because the war has kind of been declared.
I have no frame of reference for Fire Emblem.
Oh, well, it's a lot like this. There's also people with pink hair, just like this show. You don't remember the straight edge lesbian in this episode? The one that seemingly hates her friends? Let's get into it. We'll get to it when we get to it. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I was like, you're fucking making something up. No, you're actually not.
Sorry. I was actually in Ben Boykovich's bedroom this afternoon. So if I'm a little off.
Okay. This episode begins Ben Boykovich and Dylan are talking on the phone. And can you believe they have so much in common?
Oh my gosh. Like, they've both been talking for 3 hours to each other.
Yeah.
And
her mom is Jewish and her dad is Catholic.
Yeah. And Ben's dad has a Jewish father and a Catholic mother.
No, his dad has a Jewish grandmother and a Catholic grandmother.
But by transitive property, aren't I still correct?
Well, I don't know. Maybe. They have so much in common and it's crazy. Ben has to go. Dylan's mom is like, who were you talking to on the phone? Blah, blah, blah. She's being nosy. They find out he's the son of the sausage king. And her mom is like, but you're a vegetarian.
Which I'm still not sure is healthy, but probably healthier than eating all that sausage.
Okay, again, I just want to say briefly, another episode where the recap has... I know they did, like, a recap that's like, oh, it's, it was the mid-season finale. But they, like, mentioned Betty.
Oh, yeah. No Betty.
And Camille.
We see nothing of these people. Also, they don't mention Ethan, who gets brought up again. The kid that was in last episode's recap. The troubled foster kid.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But... with all that, they mentioned two characters that are not important to this episode, but they do not mention the one that apparently is going to be a major character.
Yeah.
Also, this whole episode seems to just be setting up what they're going to do for the rest of the season.
Also, maybe I'm, like, crazy, but I don't remember Omar's brother at all.
Oh, I do. That was... didn't you watch the recap? That was the one who lived upstairs from...
No, I remember, like, but I don't... when I saw his face, I was like...
oh, no, that was a stranger to me. That was... I have never seen that man.
Like, I know, like, the lore, but when I saw him, I was like, no.
That is... yes. Oh, my gosh.
It was like... Jack was hanging out with the inner city?
Oh, my God. This inner city youth, and then fucked his sister, and then we never heard from either of them again?
Yeah. Well, it was also illegal because she was, like, too old.
She was, wasn't she, like, 20 and he was 17 at most?
I don't know. Anyway, whatever.
This show is really cool, actually, and I don't see any problems with it. I don't get why it's not in syndication like Friends.
Yeah. So, Dylan is excited because this could be her first boyfriend. Her mom calls her... a dad, silly little Robert. Virgin.
Oh, yeah.
to come in. And then the Sausage King comes into Ben's room and says, did I hear you on the phone all afternoon? Oh, which, did you? Sorry.
Does Ben have a private phone line? Like, wouldn't the Sausage King probably have to use... they were using cell phones, weren't they?
I honestly couldn't tell you.
If so,
the show feels like it's from 1993, so...
that's the thing. I keep on thinking it came out, like, in the early 90s because of how people talk and act. So I'm like, oh, they don't have modern conveniences like cell phones. Meanwhile, Mean Girls was fully, like, a decade earlier.
That's literally in 2012, when this episode came out...
oh, we were in high school.
All my friends had iPhones.
Yeah.
I did not have an iPhone, but that's because I was, some would say, poor.
Yeah, well, and they would say it loudly. as you walk past.
I had a very nice phone that slid out, so that way I could have a full keyboard to text.
I miss mine like that.
So, brag. Anyway, Ben tells his dad about Dylan. She's a redhead, and, you know, Ben famously loves redheads.
Yes, that was definitely a detail that has been said many times before.
You know, we have Amy, and then famously Adrian with red hair.
Yes, and Ms. Bologna herself with the red hair, the long flowing locks. That got... no, I'm not going to say that. Never mind. I've somewhere along the line in our hiatus, I've gotten the bare minimum of a line that I will not cross.
That's wild. Is it because you don't want to lose your job?
Oh, I wasn't even thinking about that. I truly, it should be. If there was a way to make this podcast private so only the people that are currently listening to it could listen to it, I would do that in a heartbeat.
I really wish. Please don't, you know how a lot of podcasts want their followers to, like, evangelize the podcast?
Yeah.
If you listen to this shit, keep it to yourself.
Keep it to yourself. Lock that shit down. Pretend it's being gay and lock it away. Pray for it to stop. I'm also ex-gay now, just so you all know.
So, we go back to Dylan and her parents, and they're like, we don't know if this is the right boyfriend for you.
Without any context, right? Yeah.
They want to approve of him, so they want him to come over. And then she's like, well, he has to ask me out first, and then he didn't. She's like, they're surprised he didn't ask her out yet. Whatever. Ben then conveniently calls at that time and is like, what are you doing tonight? Do you want to go out? So.
Ugh. I hate this man more and more with each passing minute.
And another thing that they have in common is nosy, overprotective parents.
Ugh.
So.
Which, like, Leo caught a huge stray there. I think he's a bad parent, but I don't think he's nosy or overprotective.
No, because... I think he lives under a rock for the majority of.
Yes. So, like, just massive stray caught by Leo in that. Also, Leo wasn't, like, listening because he was nosy. He was like, I think this girl would be good for you. You should talk to her. And she's immediately like, oh, your fucking dad who has to hear everything? That sucks that he's there.
Anyway, they don't want an audience for this conversation, which is obviously going to turn into phone sex. So they hang up.
That's so true. Oh, I miss phone sex. Is this where the theme plops in?
Yeah, the theme.
Okay. So, did you get an alternative theme? If not, I want to pitch something.
Go ahead, pitch something. Okay. I have an alternative theme, but...
Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to say, instead of the alternative theme, I pitch, we choose what song they were listening to in their weed circle.
Oh. Okay. Yeah.
But we can do the alternative theme instead. No. I still want to know what yours was, though.
I have more to say about this later.
Yeah.
In terms of weed, but... Like, the audacity to smoke weed in your bedroom in your parents' house.
Oh, some people, like, have no fear of God or anyone. Yeah. Like... Hotbox your driver's car. Go to your ex-wife's condo that has a bedroom just for you. Like, yeah. Do literally anything else.
Yeah. Wild. Okay, we come back from the theme, and... Ben and Amy are, like, sleeping on their little bed, couch, whatever situation. Yeah,
I do think they maybe should have invested in a real bed by now.
I mean, if what's John's not there, I was like, what's their son's name? If John's not there, sleep in his bed that is Ricky's bed.
Wait, John sleeps in a real bed and they're sleeping in a pullout?
Yes, they're sleeping in Ricky's bed and they sleep in, like, the kitchen area.
Interesting. Are they good parents? I can't tell. I feel like the show keeps trying to write them like they are, but their actions are very telling.
No, I mean, I think it's good. Like, I you know, it, like, makes sense that, like...
No, that part makes sense. Like, I get it. I would rather, like, have a line of defense instead of, like, letting my child sleep where he could probably find knives really easily.
Yeah.
So that's not what I have issue with. I just, in general, I can't tell.
There are some, like, downsides to that.
Yeah. Well, also, like... If they're banging around up there in the butcher shops below, Bunny's standing on a chair with a glass to her ear, listening every time they're fucking. I'll tell you that right now. She watches the cameras, see when both of them go up, and then she stands there the rest of the night.
So, they're trying to take a nap, whatever. They have to get John at 5 o'clock at night, and then she's like, thank you for, you know, my ring. And he said, thank you for saying yes. Blah, blah, blah. She's just, like, they start talking about the wedding. Amy is, like, not in, like, a super big rush to get married.
And this is also where you can tell that Brenda Hampton took over from some other writer.
Yeah. Also, just, like, this idea of, like, oh, she's never planned out a wedding. Like, she's never had a plan for a wedding before. This is a bitch who got married in the first season.
Yes. She really wants to make a recreation of the first season wedding, too. Because she's like, you know, I'd like to graduate, which I get. And then maybe we can just run away together and get married. It's like, bitch, that was your wedding to Ben.
Yeah.
You just described.
And then go to a hotel room.
This is just like that part in Awkward where Jake, the blonde one, is about to take Tamara's virginity, and he sets up his van the same way as when he fucked Jenna. Sorry, I don't know if anyone... I know you watched Awkward, but I don't know that that's a good point of reference for 90% of America.
It was so long ago. Also, I could just only focus on the fact that you, like, had a stroke in the middle of saying that.
I don't even remember what I said. That's actually not funny. A lot of people have strokes.
Yeah, I'm one of them.
Did you?
I had a mini stroke in, like, 2018.
Bro, my aunt just had a mini stroke last week.
Oh my god, that's another thing we have in common.
Wow, should we smoke pot together?
I think we've done that already. And by smoke pot, I mean take an edible.
And by take an edible, you mean share a meal together.
So
you hear that, village? We shared a meal together. We call it eating edibles because we're goofy.
So,
also, I just said eating edibles. You think I've ever done drugs?
This coming from the person who tried to turn around his car in his
garage. Hey, that was stone cold sober, okay? I hadn't even looked at a drug at that point. That was when I was still having nightmares that I got high and woke up crying because I wouldn't be able to tell my child I said no to drugs.
Can I tell you, I had a nightmare last night, and it was fully of my boss at work calling me fat.
Oh, no!
Which is a word that I'm trying to destigmatize at work, so yeah. I've been calling myself fat at work.
Yeah.
In an effort to neutralize the term.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. I forgot what happened in this episode now. I'm just too focused on all this.
She just wants to run off and get married, whatever.
Yes.
Ricky is like, hey, just so you know, guys actually might be more attracted to you.
Yeah, he's like, I wasn't worried before because you're kind of plain and homely. But now, now that you got a ring on your finger, people are going to want to fuck.
Yeah. A 17-year-old girl with an engagement ring?
Yeah, nothing says I want or like get that nothing. I think. I'm just going to stop as if that was a coherent and good sentence, and we're going to roll with it.
Slay Joe Biden.
The Secret Service is now after you. That's the importance of a comma, okay, bitch? The FBI is going to bust out our door when this episode releases.
Yeah.
Where we share, because we live together.
Famously. Wisconsin-sylvania.
Yes, exactly.
So then we go to Grace's house. Kathleen is like, did you have a great party? Did you sleep? Did you and Daniel do the deed?
Gross.
Anyway, basically, they just have a conversation, and Kathleen is like, Grace, are you okay? And Grace is like, disassociating. And then yeah. She gets a phone call from Daniel, and he's like, sorry.
Sorry, I shouldn't have overreacted when my girlfriend was at the party. I just get really scared of strong women.
I shouldn't have set the clearest and most simple boundary.
Yes, I shouldn't have expressed my discomfort for you and expected you to be there for me.
And she's like, I should have just left with you. She's feeling guilty.
Which, can I tell you, I did not remember what she was feeling guilty for.
That was, like, literally, like, a week ago.
I know. That's how little it registered to me. Because, guess what? When you throw in 7 plot twists in the last 2 minutes of an episode, they don't all stick. Brenda.
Anyway, so she's talking to Daniel. I think she goes up to her room when she's talking to him. They're like, let's forget about the party, whatever. She has a knock on her door. And he's like, what time should I pick you up? She says 7. He's like about to say something back and she hangs up. Jack comes in and she's like, I made a mistake. It was just a kiss. And he's like, no, it wasn't just a kiss. And I'll prove it to you. You want me to kiss you again? And she's like, no.
And he's like, fucking set. And moves in.
But then when he's like moving in, she's like, yeah. And it's like, this isn't coercion at all.
No. No means no unless you're Jack Pappas.
Truly.
I'm going to get that made on a t-shirt.
We go to, like, Daniel's apartment. He gets a phone call from Adrian. Adrian is freaking out because Omar is not taking her calls.
Yeah.
And he's like, I literally blocked you. And she's like, yeah, fuck you, bitch. I unblocked myself on your phone last night in the car.
Which, did they drive back together?
No, they drove there together.
Oh, he'd already blocked her then? Yeah. Wow, he hates this girl.
Yeah. And she's like, where is he? He's like, I haven't seen him. Anyway, she's like, I've lost. Then she, like, you know, plays the dead baby card.
Which, you know what? I'll say it. You might as well at that point.
Yeah, but she's like, you don't know how much I've lost. Like, I can't lose him too. Which, like, I don't really know if, like, that's, like, really...
equivalent?
Yeah, but then...
That's kind of like... It's like if I said to you, like, I already lost my grandma this year and you can't make me a peanut butter sandwich.
Which, we're playing Mario Kart. And like, we're playing Mario Kart. And I'm like, my cat ran away. And you're like, you're beating me at Mario Kart. My cat didn't run away.
Oh, okay, good. I was actually about to ask if everything was okay. Yeah, that's right. I was like, wow. You were like chill right now.
Honestly, though, there are six of them. So if one of them wanted to run away. Just kidding. Everyone, animal rights activists, listen, we love them all.
Except
we pay too much money for them.
I don't love my cat sometimes.
I mean, your cat is a little bit of an asshole. So.
Oh, a little?
I'm sorry. I was saying his asshole was little.
It is, like, proportion to the rest of the body. I feel like it's small. Because he's a big cat, but he passes some tiny little fecal matters. And you know what? Sometimes the fecals matter.
That's what I always say. So,
can I, real quick, can I tell you, one time my mother was watching Linus while I was away, and he did the thing he likes to do when he's angry at me, which is shit in my shower. And she was like, yeah, like, I just cleaned it up, but I never knew. They look like little people poops. I didn't know what cat looked like.
Yeah.
So, just to know, if you also didn't know what cat poop looks like, it looks like a little person. A little person took a little shit, and it's beautiful.
We have this one cat named Paris who has to be like some form of cat that's like very large. He's like he's a hunk of cat. Like, he's just long and he's big. And our neighbors have a true Maine Coon, which is bigger than Paris, but he's not like fully a Maine Coon, but whatever. He poops in little piles and it truly looks like a horse shit. And I'm like, I wish we had a horse, but this is just fucking Paris.
Oh.
Anyway, Omar comes into Daniel's apartment and he's like, bitches be crazy. And Daniel's like, I know that's right. And he's like, I'm attracted to her in some crazy way. And I'd call her if she hadn't met my brother first. And it's like,
when did this start mattering to you? So here's my question. Was this supposed to foreshadow that his brother was back in town?
I guess so. Dante, right? That's his brother's name.
I thought this one... No, this is this is Omar.
No, Omar, but Omar, his brother's name is Dante.
Yes, but his brother is Dante. Yes, because at first I thought Dante was the one she was talking to, but not. It's Omar. No.
It's bothering Omar because he doesn't like seeing her kiss another guy. And it's like, okay, well, don't ask her to kiss your brother then.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to figure out, too. Like, what's the relation there? Is that him saying that he would feel bad if his brother had to see her kissing him? Or...
Yeah.
I don't know. I was confused by what any of this scene meant.
Yeah. So then we go to Lauren's house. Madison comes in and she's like, hi, your mom let me in. And Lauren is just, you know... I mean...
She turns her ass, and it was great.
She's like, my mom
doesn't know that you fucked my boyfriend, and my mom doesn't know that I hate your skank ass.
Yeah, and then tells her to get out. Then we go to Ben's bedroom. He's sleeping. Alice wakes him up, and breaks the news that Henry, you know, slept with Adrian.
Does this feel like an appropriate time to bring that up to you? Just, like, barge into someone's room and be like, hey. No. I feel like they had plenty of time before that.
Yeah, absolutely. So then we go to, like, it's like a commercial break. We come back and Dylan is in the room with her three friends, who I guess Daniel's ex is one of her friends. Which, like, we get this idea that Dylan is a loser, and then, like...
Oh, and then she hangs out with all the hot bitches and the one lesbian at school?
Yeah, okay. Anyway.
Yeah, I just am shocked that this virgin can keep up with Jordan.
Yeah. Well, they find out that basically, like, Ben called to cancel, and they're like, well, maybe you talk to him too much, and, like, he knows too much about you, which, like, burn, for sure.
Yeah. That's like, a man would never be attracted to you if he knew you.
And then, you know, they're like, maybe he's with that other girl, and she's like, oh, you mean his ex-wife? Or, you know, the person who will be his ex-wife when they finish their divorce. And the first, then
isn't one of them like, oh, the trashy looking one? And then she's like, yeah, they all look trashy. Yeah. There's a little school rivalry going on between Ulysses S. Grant High School and I can only assume Robert E. Lee High School.
Horrible.
I just learned that they were rivals last episode, so I had to use that knowledge while it was fresh.
Dylan explains that Ben only married this girl because she was pregnant with his seed.
Yeah. And then they're like, yeah, that's not better.
Yeah. And then they're like, so he has a kid, and she's like, no, the baby died.
And they're like, oh, then that's fine. Good for her.
And then she just also, like, in tunes, has this intuition that her parents are listening at the door and tells them to go away. She
definitely rolled a perception check and got a nat 20.
Yeah. I, like, honestly, as a DM, I don't even think I would give... If somebody's listening at the door...
What would someone have to roll, do you think, to know that without doing any sort of investigation? Probably investigation. But, like, if they have no...
Probably investigation.
Wait, I just had a horrible idea. When we're done watching the show, can we find some friends and start a secret life...
Actual
play podcast?
No, I... If I go through with it, maybe when we finish the show, I will write a one-shot, and I will DM us playing a one-shot Secret Life.
That would be so stupid, but so
funny. Clay just bought me new dice that are in the mail.
That's adorable.
I have so many sets of dice, but...
I'm trying to get my man to play Dungeons & Dragons with me, because he actively plays... Sorry, I can call him his name. It's just, like, fun to say my man, because I have him. I just want to say, like, that I have a boyfriend a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, my boyfriend?
Yeah.
Has also watched TV, so, like, that's kind of, like, what we're doing on this podcast. I just bring him up at every opportunity.
Yeah. So, okay. Robert, you know, Dylan's mom's husband... pulls her away from the door. Dylan continues to talk to her friends. Stick to the guys at our school, but we're not in school all summer. I wanted to meet a guy this summer. And she wants Ben Boykovich, even knowing all of his history. So they're like, we found his address. Or, like, do you have his address or something? And she's like, I found it on the internet. So they decide to just, like, show up.
Yeah, because that's not, like... a red flag or creepy at all if a girl that you've talked to once at a party and then talked on the phone with a couple times shows up at your house with three friends.
This, like, always reminds me of the time that I listened to Armchair Expert with Dak Shepherd and Monica Padman. You know, our sister podcast.
Yes, yes.
Our parent network, some would say.
Also, but my fridge has been broken for, like, 2 weeks and Dax won't come down and fix it. Like, what the hell?
Are you paying his 75% rent increase?
Yeah, for sure.
So, they had Josh Hutcherson on the podcast, like, pretty early on, I think. And Josh Hutcherson was talking about how, like, one Christmas or one Thanksgiving or something, someone, like, found, like, these people from Illinois found his Tennessee, like, where his parents lived in, like, Tennessee, and, like, drove down on the actual day of the holiday and, like, knocked on the door to meet him.
Oh, my Lord.
Which, like, insane.
That is, yeah, don't, actually, if any of you do that to me, I'll be kind of impressed. But don't do that. That's weird. Yeah.
So.
That also, spoilers, but that kind of happens in the hit movie Sing 2.
I have not seen Sing 2, but.
Oh, I just watched it this weekend. It's lovely.
This group of girls is going to go to Ben's house, and they're like, should we get Daniel too for, do we even know her name?
I don't think anyone has names of her friend group other than the one who was named last episode.
Okay. Well, she's like, I can get Daniel without even having to go and get Daniel. All I have to do is forward a picture, and she has the picture of Jack and Grace kissing.
Oh, wait, is she Jordan?
Jordan?
Was that her name?
Don't ask me questions. Maybe. Okay. Yes.
Oh, also, we did breeze over my favorite thing where when these girls walk in, they're like, did he stand you up? Do you want him arrested? I can have you arrested. And, like, you know, obviously abolish prisons or whatever. But Ben, maybe for a while.
Did you know that people on death row play D&D?
No.
In solitary confinement? I just, like, watched this fascinating video on it.
Fascinating's the right word for that. Because I was about to be like, oh, that's cool. But it's like, no, that's a horrible situation. But, like, that's very interesting. No, like,
they're in solitary confinement, and they're, like, finding a way to, like, slip notes to each other.
That's
amazing. And they don't have... Yeah. They don't... They're in prison, you're not allowed to have dice. They're, like, contraband. Yeah. So, they, like, make, like, handmade spinners.
Oh, wow.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Horrible. Literally horrifying.
That's the thing. Like, I keep on wanting to be like, wow, that's so cool that they do that. But, like, that is such a horrible thing that that's something that they even have to do because solitary is so inhumane.
Yeah.
Human resiliency is astounding.
Truly. So then we go to Madison and Henry.
Yeah, they're calling each other. So it's, like, in Madison's home. And then in Henry's... Does Henry... have, like, a brother or something?
Oh, yeah. He's in, like, a room with, like, a bunk bed.
Yeah.
With, like, two brothers? I don't know. Anyway, he's, like, talking with his brothers, assumably, in the room, but Madison is like, you better learn who I am because we're in the same boat. We both slept with our best friend's partner, or whatever.
Yeah, we've both become pariahs entirely because of our own actions, and now we need to be each other.
Yes.
This does feel like they just, like, through all the characters in a randomizer to find out who is going to be friends with whom from now on.
I think that's what they've been doing all along.
That's really true. Also, was this really the first... This is also where they reveal that no one knows who the fuck Henry is.
Yeah. No, well, and Henry and... like, Madison calls Henry, and Henry's like, who is this? And it's like, you guys should definitely know each other.
Yeah, you've had multiple shenanigans together, I'm pretty sure.
I'm sorry, I have, like, a piece of hair that's, like, hitting my face. I got it.
And they're still trying to convince us that everyone at the school doesn't know each other, even though there was a graduating class of, like, 30.
Yeah. Whatever. They're outcasts, whatever. What if we go to summer school? Let's go to summer school because it'll be fun to be there together and have a friend. Even if that friend is fucking you, I guess. Like, not fucking you. Even if that friend is you.
That's how we got into this situation.
Then Adrian is talking to Grace and is like, I just want to talk to Omar. And Grace is like, this isn't like you. And Adrian is such a bitch and is like, well, you know what's really like you, actually? To be a fucking cheater.
Yeah, to be dating both Daniel and Jack at the same time. That's a lot like you, bitch. You're not better than me.
Yeah. I'm not going out with him at the same time. I just kissed Jack and kissed him again.
Grace is doing extra work to make it seem like kissing outside of relationships is like a normal thing that you do all the time if you don't have that arrangement.
Which she cheated on Grant with Daniel on a medical mission trip.
Yes, and she cheated. I feel like she cheated on, like, everyone she dated.
Yeah.
She cheated she cheated on Jack with Lauren's brother.
And also Jack with Ricky when she, like, sucked the cookie dough off his finger.
Yes. This is... Did she cheat on literally everyone she ever dated?
I think so.
Honestly?
Her dad died. We have to give her a break, okay?
That's hot.
Oh my god.
I've lost so much already. My dad just died in a plane crash. You can't take away cheating from me.
My only means of coping.
My only, yeah, this is, I just need to cheat. It's the only way I feel alive. I always forget that, because they always play up Grace like she's this typical good girl, but, like, she is...
She's confused.
Yeah, sexually.
She is a lesbian.
Oh, that we definitely confirmed later.
Huh?
We'll talk about it when we get to it.
Are you talking about when Grace... What are you talking about?
Grace and Adrian giving up men to live together.
Yeah. So, then, okay, so they continue to talk and, you know, they love each other, whatever. And then Adrian's like, I think I reached rock, or no, Grace says that she reached rock bottom. And then Adrian admits that she slept with Henry.
And Grace is like, who?
It's literally, like, her husband's best friend. She keeps being, like, she says, like, Henry of Alice and Henry, and it's like, just say you're, like, husband's best friend.
Yeah, because that's the reason it's bad. Not because it's Alice's ex. You don't give a shit about Alice's ex, and they're broken up.
Yeah. So, then, you know, Henry shows up at Ben's house, and Ben is like, fuck you, you had a long time to tell me this. I had to find out through Alice. And it's like, you didn't have to find out through Alice. Alice literally showed up at your house, woke you up, and told you. Then, you know, Henry is like, she is a succubus.
This was the, I hate to say this, this was the first time I ever respected Ben Boykovich.
Boykovich?
Like a bitch, am I right? Because Henry's like, oh, she seduced me. And he's like, no, you don't get to say that. She did not seduce you. She did not seduce me. Neither of us were seduced. We were both active participants in the shitty thing we did. Which is the first time he has ever admitted that he is even a little at fault for maybe anything.
Yeah.
So I had just a crumb of liking for Ben for one single moment where he wasn't just the whiny little bitch that I thought he was.
Yeah. Yeah, he takes ownership of that. And then he's like, you know, Henry is like, listen, like, she felt rejected, blah, blah, blah. And then we just went to talk. And then, you know, it was late and we weren't talking. And I'm sorry and I'm ashamed. And we've known each other forever. And Ben's like, not anymore. We don't know each other. Don't ever come to my house again. And then, like, Henry's, like, sadly walking away. And then all the girls are like, go get him! Go! Go! And it's like, why do they stay?
Yes! This whole scenario is, again, Brenda Hampton having never interacted with a teenager. But, like, Dylan walks up and she's like, hi, sorry to just, like, come over, even though you never told me your address. But my friends were really wondering, why did you cancel our date?
Yeah.
I will say, as this episode went on, the more I'm like, okay, Dylan might be perfect for Ben, because she kind of sucks, too.
We go to the Juergens' house, and, you know, Amy and Ricky have shown up to collect John, and George and Anne are having a conversation about when the wedding is going to be, and Anne seems to be on Amy's side to be like, yeah, let's, like, wait. And George is with Ricky and is like, you need to get married yesterday.
All she says is like, I want to graduate before I get married. Yeah. That's literally the only time frame she puts on it. And everyone's like, this selfish bitch finally gets what she wants. And now she's denying Ricky.
Yeah.
This was another like huge mountain of a molehill. Like, it's almost like this is the same show that called Amy a selfish bitch because she gave her son a cupcake on his birthday.
Yeah.
I think the writers just hate Amy.
What?
Just a little bit. Just
what is Ricky's mom's name? Nora? Is Nora in on this conversation too?
I think she starts out in on it, and then Anne's like, I hate that you two are living together and now teaming up on me.
Yeah.
Because they're both team Ricky, and Anne's just like, let her live her life.
Nora says the thing where it's like, Amy, why do you have to go to college? Ricky's going to college.
Isn't that George? And then Nora agrees with it?
Oh, yeah. You're right.
Yeah. Ricky's the man. He's going to college. You don't need to go.
Yeah, you're right.
Which.
She laughs about it. And I just love sexist lesbians.
It is really, it's powerful. I think people forget it's actually advancing the women's movement when lesbians are sexist. because that's something that was previously reserved only for straight men.
That's true.
So now, like, that's taking back that power. When a lesbian is sexist, that's something they couldn't do until very recently.
You're not wrong.
Thank you. I know.
So, basically, also we find out that, like, it's fucking 5 o'clock at night and John is still napping, which is...
bad.
We know how I feel about the sleep schedule in this show.
Well, and that's John, why...
You know, and Ricky starts to feel the same as me, apparently.
Yes, that's what... When Ricky said that, I'm like, oh, that's so cool. Aaron's being validated. But also, you're the problem, fucker.
Yeah. And also, we find out that they have plans to go over to Margaret and Shaker's house that night.
Have some margs with Margaret.
Yeah. And
shaken margs with Margaret and Shaker.
That's pretty good.
Thank you. Can we pretend I said that first and I didn't have to work to get there?
Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Also, I just want to say it's like really weird if you get engaged and you don't know the date of your wedding the day after you get engaged.
Yes, for sure.
It's not like you have to like call venues and like figure that shit out.
Yeah. No, you should just know right offhand.
Yeah. Amy is excited to be engaged, whatever. And we find out that a long engagement is never good. Then Amy gets a call from Lauren, right? And then Amy walks off.
But they'd already spent all the money they wanted to on Lauren that episode, so we don't get to see the conversation at all.
Then Ricky is left with Amy, or Ricky is left with Amy's parents and Nora. And basically, like, does Nora excuse herself?
Yeah, she's finally like, oh, I gotta get out of here.
Well, Ricky is first excuses himself. He's like, it's a nice night. I'll just be outside.
I think she might have gone to her room a while back when they started arguing about the engagement. And when Anne was like, I don't like that you live here. And then she was like, I'm gonna peace.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She leaves after she brings up that she knows that George and Anne slept together.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah, when she's like, I think someone might be regretting sleeping with someone else, and both of those someones are in this room, and one's bald and one's a redhead. Remember George's hair plugs?
So then it's just Anne and George left, but they're like arguing, and George is like, I know that we're like completely opposed on this matter, but why don't you go convince Amy to be on my side? And it's like, all right. They talk about how they have 3 lovely children, and she's like, again,
shock the hell out of me.
And George seems like very content with his life, and Anne, you know, it's the same dynamic. Like, Anne continues to not be content with her life, and she's like, I think I'm gonna make some changes. And he's like, do any of these changes concern me? And she's like, I think I hear Robbie, and she like leaves.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like, of course Anne's not content. She's a hot lady who things aren't working out for very well. George is a kind of a loser who begged a hot lady for years and years and years, and now he got a house out of it somehow. So, like, of course he's content.
Honestly. He
kind of runs a furniture store sometimes, I think.
No, it's like gay twink does that for him.
Oh, God. What I would give to have a twink do my job.
So, Ricky goes into Amy's room, you know, whatever. They talk about how much they hate it when he gets, like, John gets off of his schedule because he's still sleeping. It's like, wake him up.
Wake him up inside.
He can't wake up.
Wake him up inside. Save me! Yeah, it is just funny because he's like, it confirms that apparently John does have a sleep schedule, but I don't know what it could possibly be. Oh no, did someone put you off of your sleep schedule too?
Yeah.
I genuinely was put off of my sleep schedule this weekend, so. Because that was fucking.
They talk about the engagement some more, and then, you know, Amy convinces him again that she wants to get married. Then John comes in, and, you know, Amy's like, look, I got my ring. You told me, didn't I? He kept pointing my hand and saying, ring, he's so cute. Then, you know, Anne talks to Amy, Ricky is left, and is like, don't let anybody pressure you into having a wedding until you're sure you want a wedding. Like, she's like, I just want to go finish high school and go to college and get my master's. And it's like, okay, we're really we're really adding up the time here. But she wants to make a contribution to other teenage mothers, which I think is...
That's cool.
Yeah, cool.
Does she want to run another music program for teenage mothers who are bad at music?
I think so. She's like, also, she's like, I don't know how my wedding could be better than a graduation proposal in front of people that I don't really know.
Yeah, in front of all 30 of the graduating seniors.
And she says that was better than any wedding could be. And her mom is like, that's not a wedding. And Amy's like, yeah, I'm not a fucking idiot. Like, I know. I'm just, like, communicating my feelings. Also, it happened yesterday, and then I didn't sleep all night, so can everyone just shut the fuck up?
Yeah.
Anyway, she's like, I'm so excited that this, I have this, and then she's like, I don't just love Ricky and John, I love myself. And she's like, get out of here so I can just say me.
I was weirdly touched by this moment when she's like, I love myself. And I'm like, you earned that, girl. You had to fight to get here.
And then Anne, you know, there's some real, like, weird role reversal going on. Anne is like, I just want that.
I want that for me.
And then Ashley fucking
daughter
shows up.
Yeah, jump scare.
Halloween episode.
Remember me, bitches. I'm back to stir up trouble and kick some ass.
And, you know...
Because apparently she's been in Florida, and apparently she got accepted to college?
Yeah.
And her GED like, score must have been bitching.
She's like, isn't it so... Well, she got into... Like, they say this, but she got into college in Florida. Like.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Oh, we gotta get to that part, because I cackled.
But, you know, the other day... One of the doctors that I know, she was, like, telling me about this med student that she was working with, who was, like, shadowing her. And she's like, my med student is so bad. I mean, it's not her fault. She goes to school in Florida. And I was like, damn. That's something. But well,
actually, Governor DeSantis has put together the greatest educational system in the USA, and we kind of need to follow his model.
I mean, you're not wrong, so...
Yeah.
Anyway, she's like, isn't it so funny? I was behind Amy a year in school, and now I'm gonna be in front of her a year in school, and it's like, okay, that's awesome, good for you.
Yeah. And they're you're all kind of like, hey, did you think of maybe telling us you were coming, so we could have been, like, prepared?
And they're like, we just started driving, and it's like...
You drove from Florida to California, and it never once occurred to you that maybe you should call?
Insane, truly. Amy and Ashley have... I think Amy is, like, able to stand up for herself a little bit more now with Ashley, because Ashley is truly a bitch.
She's so mean, and for what? Amy's like, I wish you could have been here for graduation. Ricky proposed to me. It was so amazing. And Ashley's like, wow, that's embarrassing.
Yeah. And then, you know, Amy is like, just so you know, you actually don't have a room here anymore, so
yeah, dad rents out your room.
Yeah,
but I just loved it when she said she was going to college in Florida, and Amy's like, oh, so it's not Oxford, it's more like clown college. Yeah. You fucking clown. Say what you will about Brenda Hampton, she's got some bangers.
Yeah. We go to Ben's room, and, you know, they're like, wow, look at his room, it's so plain compared to the rest of the house. And he's like, well, it's always been like this. And they're like, wow.
And you kept it that way?
Yeah. And they're like, well, it looks like maybe the place where people might, like, hang out and, like, I don't know, smoke weed. They only refer to it as pot, which, like, I don't know. I, like, don't ever refer to it as pot.
Yeah. That's what I'm honestly surprised they didn't say, like, oh, man, this would be a sick doobie den. Or something
hey,
like that.
Hey, do you mind if I light up some reefer?
Oh, you want a hit of this jazz lettuce?
Like, okay, so anyway, so they're like, basically everyone except for the pink-haired lesbian and Ben are like, we'll smoke, right? Dylan smokes, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Cause... The lesbian is like, not only is it illegal and I love cops, but, you know.
I would never want to alter my mind like that.
But, you know, basically he's like, yeah, that's fine. Like, go ahead and you can smoke in my room. Which, okay, here's where I get to this point, right?
Yes.
Where if you're a high school student,
yeah,
the weed that you can afford or that you have access to smells so bad.
Just skunky, skunky stuff.
Like, and also this is 2012. Like, you don't have your hands on, like, dispensary quality shit. Like,
no.
This is, like, you know, I work with college students, right? Like, I'm in a dorm building, and, like, I smell weed because, like, oftentimes the weed that they have access to is, like, the worst weed in the world, and it smells so bad, and it stinks up everything. And so it's just, like, have the common sense to go somewhere else, because even if you smoke, and by the time your dad gets back, you're not smoking anymore, your room is gonna smell like weed for the rest of your life.
Oh, yeah. Literally any cloth or fabric surface in there will be smelling like you got sprayed by a skunk until he dies.
Yeah.
Also, why would you ever... I would never let someone smoke weed around me in a place I own if I'm not also participating, because the smell of it is horrible when you're not there.
Right? Horrible. I mean, also skunky weed, like, there's some weed that people can smoke where it's like, okay, if you're, whatever.
Yeah.
Just ridiculous. Also,
if there are hotboxing rooms like this, like crazy, didn't even crack a window, first of all, but there is no way straight edge lesbian has not gotten contact high frequently.
No.
Her mind's been altered. She just doesn't want to accept it. She likes to take a principled stance, but, like, they're hotboxing her car, and she's, like, giggling and staring at her hands and wondering when they're going to start growing beanstalks.
Yeah, just interesting.
Yeah.
So, then, let's see, where we go. Omar, is it Omar and Daniel are talking when Daniel gets the text message from his old... Oh, no.
What was it? It was
it's
the other
Grace,
one.
It's Grace... It's, no, it's Grace and Daniel are together. Oh, yeah. And they're like, I'm not really interested in going out anymore. And Daniel gets this picture from his ex. That's Grace and Jack kissing. And she's like, okay, well, you left me at this party by myself. What did you expect to happen?
All of her arguments are wild.
Yeah. And then she's like, who is she? The kissing police?
Yeah. Yeah. And she's like, don't you see? You are playing into her hands. She wants to make you not trust me by sending you a picture of something I did.
Yeah.
Just, yeah.
She's like, and then she's like, well, if you want to go back to your old girlfriend, fucking do that. And then he's like, well, I actually don't want to do that, but I don't want to be with you either. So then, you know.
Yeah, the only options aren't you and this girl. He can just, like, take a break from dating fucking high schoolers, maybe. Like, I think he might be kind of a creep.
Well, he's, like, the same age, right? Like, he graduated early.
Oh, that's right. I forgot that
detail. Omar is older, I think.
Either way, if you're in, again, if you're in college and it's not, like, a pre-existing relationship, maybe don't start with high schoolers. Definitely don't party with high schoolers.
And then Kathleen comes into the kitchen and Grace is like, well, I hope you and Jack are really happy because, you know, Daniel and I just broke up. And she's like, oh my god, that doesn't make me happy.
And she's like, are you okay? Like, I thought I liked him, but, like, if he hurt you, I don't like him at all. I'm so sorry, sweetie. And she's like, you dumb bitch, if my father wouldn't have died and you wouldn't have let me go to that thing, this is all your fault, actually. It's your fault that I kissed my ex-boyfriend and my boyfriend's ex-girlfriend took a picture of it and then she sent it to my boyfriend.
Yeah, and also, you should not have let me go to this party.
Yes.
What are you thinking? I'm 17.
Which, like, also, she asked not to for a like, she told her not to go, or that she wasn't comfortable with it. So, like,
whatever. So, then, you know, Grace leaves, and then Jack comes down.
And he's, like, happy as a clam. Kathleen's like, this doesn't mean that she's gonna date you. Like, she's probably gonna blame you eventually. And he's like, why would she blame me? She blames you. Like, that's cool.
Yeah.
I think I will say Kathleen maybe does need to do a little more disciplining.
I mean,
because the way these teenagers talk to her is wild.
Yeah. But then, you know, she does give Jack some advice where she's like, you're going to college, like, why don't you just, like, have a fresh start and, like, not be trying to chase your high school girlfriend, you know?
Yeah, you know, like, solid motherly advice.
Yeah.
But I think she's also saying, like, there's someone else in this house that you wouldn't have to chase. Because, again, the sexual tension between Kathleen and Jack is so palpable at all times. Yeah,
she's like, Jack, you know there's going to be a lot of girls at college, but there's going to be one girl here.
She does a little hair flip, slaps on the ass, walks away.
Anyway, then it's Grace and Adrian at Adrian's house, and Adrian is like, listen, which I wish somebody told to the Pretty Little Liars girls, right? Which is, you have to remember that phones have cameras, and cameras are everywhere.
Yes. Yes.
And Grace is like, well, that didn't bother you when you were fucking Henry.
And she's like, no one was videoing that. No one wanted to see that. Okay, here's my thing, though. Like, there's no way to know this for sure. I'm 99% sure that Henry is absolutely slanging.
I can't.
The actor was 26 at the time. I can say that.
Then we get, like, a nice, like, callback to what happened earlier in the episode with Dylan and her friends.
Yes.
They're talking about Daniel's ex-girlfriend, and they're like, the trashy-looking one. They all look trashy. All those girls.
Yeah, that made me giggle. They really don't like the Robert E. Lee girls.
I feel like that's warranted, though.
No, they were kind of... They weren't there to make friends.
Well, they got invited. It's really Jesse's fault, because he invited them over.
Oh, of course. It's always a Jesse's fault.
So, Adrian realizes she has a missed call from Dante, and she, like, screams.
Wait, I thought it was Andre. Who the fuck is Andre?
It's Dante.
Did I watch this episode?
So, she's like, but should I go out with Dante now that Omar is, like, not into me anymore? And Grace is like, I don't know. And then, you know, we find out Dante has arrived at the house. She's like, should I go out with the brother or should I tell him the truth? And Grace is like, you should always tell the truth. I famously am someone who 100% of the time tells the truth.
Yes. Which also, like, this shouldn't be an option, because if they're brothers, don't you think that might come up? Like, if you come to family Christmas, don't you think there's a chance someone will say something?
Yeah. So, anyway, it's like this really, Adrian and Dante talk to each other at her door, and they're like, it's good to see you again, it's great to see you.
And it's like, whatever. I should have told you I was leaving the country. It's like, yeah, that's true, actually.
And then, you know, he's like, look, he says, look, I should have told you that I was leaving the country, and she's like, look, I should have told you that while you were gone, I did go out with your brother, but he hates me now, but I still don't care about him. So we go to Ashley / Nora's garage room, and Nora's packing up so that way Ashley can have it back, and Ashley's like, well, I'm leaving. I don't live here anymore. And Amy intervenes and is like, Nora can stay in my room. I really don't live here anymore.
Yeah.
And Ashley's like, well, your room has a curse on it or something. And Amy's like, how can you say that? All my dreams just came true. And fucking Ashley's like,
oh my god.
Oh, you always dreamed of having a baby in high school and then having to marry the baby's father? Well, I guess dreams do come true.
And then Amy warrantedly says, you know, we didn't even miss you when we were gone. No one even noticed. 3 episodes went by and no one said a thing.
It was like 3 seasons.
It feels like it. I can't remember when Ashley, like, had anything to do with the main action of this show.
Yeah. I mean, the last time was, like, literally when she, like, tried to kiss Ricky.
Yes, and after that, she's just been off doing her own little side quests that no one cares about.
Yeah. She said, Amy is like, well, I thought that maybe your trip would teach you something. And then Ashley's like, well, even if it didn't, I'd still be smarter than you. Girl. Fuck off.
Get all of your own ass.
Then we go to George and Anne in the kitchen, and George is like, it's too late for you to leave. And Anne's like, literally, no, it's not. And he's like, I mean, it's too late for you to drive with our son. I have the line, say goodnight to the people who laid that egg in there. I don't. Okay, whatever.
Oh, yeah! That's what Amy says as she's walking out.
So.
Which is to, like, to imply that Ashley's some kind of weird fucking freak of nature.
Oh, yeah, I guess
and
so.
It's their fault for having her.
Yeah. Anyway, Amy and Ricky leave with John. Also, during this exchange, Anne is holding Robbie, so we get to see him, and he's no longer 3 weeks old. He is...
Yeah, and you can just see the tension in the air between John and Robbie's actors. Like, yeah. They did not do a good well of keeping their private lives separate.
Well, Robbie was holding a knife.
Yes, that is true.
So, it's a little confusing. But everyone leaves. It's just George. Nora comes in, and she's like, well, you know, I guess I gotta go. And he's like, you literally don't have anywhere to go. And then they play Gin Rummy, which, like, good for them. Then we go back to Adrian and Grace's, like, Adrian's house with Grace there. And they're like, fuck off. Or Adrian is like, fuck you, Grace. Fuck off. You told me to tell the truth. And obviously that didn't work. Like, I knew in my heart the right thing to do was lie.
She just liked me for real.
Yeah. Then Adrian basically convinces Grace, like, you don't have to go to med camp. Like, why don't you come to summer school with me? And Grace is like, you know what sounds a lot better than actually living in a dorm with, you know, people from other places to date, would be staying in my hometown and kind of summer school.
Yeah, and maybe exploring my best friend's body? Maybe having a little wine one night and sitting down for a movie and kind of experiencing things that we didn't think was possible before?
Adrian, like, says that Grace should move in with her because she has an extra bedroom.
They're not using that extra bedroom, let's be real.
Yeah, and, like, then we can turn to a friend instead of just random guys.
There is going to be more scissoring in that apartment than Joanne Fabrics.
Anyway, they're like, let's clear our palette for the summer.
I know where you're going, Brenda Hampton, and I am all aboard.
Then, you know, they're like, okay, we need to convince Grace's mom. You know, let's go try to convince her. Whatever. And Adrian is like, with everything that happens to me this year, I literally can't do it. I'm too weak. And it's like, Adrian, you could just move back with your parents.
Yes, which Kathleen does point out. She also is like, if you two girls really need each other that much, you're welcome to live here. And, like, I can look out for you two and make sure that everything's going okay.
Yeah. Adrian is like, the two of us need each other, and together we can do anything, including staying away from guys. It's like, well, if you're gonna be mutually just saying me, you know,
you might as well do it together and maybe to each other.
Well, that's what mutual masturbation is.
Wait, what? You can do that? That's crazy. Yo, I gotta call my boyfriend real quick. That's gonna blow his mind.
So they go to Kathleen, Adrian, and Grace to try to convince her to let Grace move in with Adrian. And Kathleen is, like, very resistant to this idea. You know, she's like, you know, I'd be happy for you to move in here, Adrian. You know, Jack is moving out, or, you know, you could move, like, you could move in back in with your parents, right? And Grace is like, actually, it makes a lot of sense for you to let me live with Adrian for the summer because I'll be going to college in a year. And it's like,
she also what? Says, I'll be better off this way because right now I'm just fucking anything that moves to get out of this house.
Yeah, true.
Like, rude.
And then Grace makes this promise where she's like, if you let me stay this summer with Adrian, I'll live at home for my first year of college, which is, like, arguably, like, if you have the privilege to be able to go to college and not live at home, right? Like, that is, like, quote unquote, the best experience in terms of, like, socializing, right? Yeah. And engagement on campus and becoming, you know, like, so, okay. Grace has said, like, fuck it, I'm gonna go to school in, you know, expensive school in Los Angeles, and, like...
But didn't she say that she would live at home if they broke what they said they were gonna do? Like, not a guarantee it would happen, but just, like, if we start fucking boys and not focusing on school, I'll go there?
Oh, I see now. Yes. Okay, if I don't do what I say I'm going to do, which is to focus on school and not go out with any guys. Okay, yeah, you're right. Never mind. Thank you.
Oh, I've been waiting years to hear that.
So, anyway, Grace is like, please, 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 whatever. Then we go to Margaret and Shaker's house. Amy is talking to Margaret at Margaret and Shaker's house, and she's telling Margaret that she's going to go to summer school and, you know, get some courses out of the way and then be able to, like, focus on, like, wedding planning. And Margaret is like, great idea. Ricky comes in. They explain all of this, whatever. And then Ricky is like, you're literally only going to summer school because Lauren is going to summer school, and Madison was going to go with Lauren, but now they're, like, not friends anymore.
Yeah. And I would like to say, Ricky, that's not true. You're only going to summer school because the writers are not quite ready to move to the next school year, so they want to have a reason for any of you motherfuckers to interact, because there's not one outside of school.
Also, I think it's funny because Amy is like, how do you know that I want to go to summer school just for Lauren? And Ricky's just like, you think I can't hear you when you're on the phone when you're in the car with me?
That is, like, somehow these two have become, like, the best part of this show.
Yeah.
And I feel like they keep moving away from them for whatever reason, but, like, that's just such couple goals.
Margaret is like, oh, you know what? Actually, I know you have a baby at home, but what if you could take care of another baby, aka Ethan, aka Ricky's foster brother, who is going to be living with us this summer because they don't have room in juvie, because our juvenile quote-unquote justice system is so fucked.
Is that
overcrowded?
Do they do that where they just, like, release kids from juvie?
Or, like, release they do that with people? They do that with whole ass prison.
So doesn't that maybe beg the question of why are those prisons necessary to start with?
Okay, Angela Davis. Doesn't that beg the question, are prisons obsolete?
Yes. Well, I mean, I read that book, and maybe that's where I first came up with that idea.
No, we can talk. I have...
Yeah, join us next week on our prison reform podcast.
Yeah, join me while I discuss with you the history of Schumann Detention Center in the city of Pittsburgh, which was shut down in the fall of 2021.
Yeah, and then we'll watch Paddington 2 to talk about some alternate forms of rehabilitation.
So, Ricky is like, why are you letting Ethan come back? Like, you just got rid of people, so now, like, you know, there's room. And she's like, yeah, that's exactly why there's room. We're foster parents, duh. Anyway, so then Margaret leaves to, like, go visit with John, and then they talk about Amy going to summer school, and he's like, you don't have to go to summer school, you don't have to plan a wedding, you know, we don't have to be in any rush, we can just, like, take our time. And he's like, you know, I promise to show up and I'll go along with anything you want, even the date. And she's like, well, I was thinking maybe June. And he, like, smiles.
Oh, we love a pride wedding.
Yeah. Then we go to the Boykovich house.
Oh, where a huge shock happens.
What is his dad's name?
Leo.
Leo. Jesus Christ. Leo walks up, you know, and Dylan's parents are just sitting there because they low-jacked their daughter, which is super cool. I love that.
Yeah, I think it's great. I don't think teenagers actually deserve privacy.
Well, Leo is like, you know, we love the sexism, we love the, you know, whatever this is. I understand. If I had a daughter, I would be protective of her, too.
Yeah, I'd keep her locked up in the sausage dungeon.
Basically, like, they're like, well, we heard about Ben, and he's like, okay, well, it's actually not as bad as it sounds. But then they go to, like, see what's happening, and they walk in to this scene, which, like, who could have ever expected, if you smell a fucking skunk in your house, that you might go to fucking investigate it?
And that's also crazy to me, because Leo does not notice whatsoever. Dylan's dad is like, is that pot I smell? And Leo's like,
Leo was like, does he?
Does he smell pot, Ben? Is that pot? Leo is such a narc that no one even smoked around him. They left, like, a 500-mile radius.
Ben takes the blame, which is kind of, you know...
they're working really hard to make me like Ben, and that makes me pissed.
I mean, he's still a fucking idiot.
Oh, for sure. Also, you don't need to... You are the one person here that's sober, along with our lesbian friend.
Like, I'm sorry, if I was in high school and I had friends who were like, do you mind if I smoke weed against... Literally, this happened to me once. I went to a birthday party. It was in the basement of a VFW, which is a certain kind of party.
What's a BFW?
A VFW.
What's a VFW?
It's like a veteran... What does VFW stand for? It's like Veterans of Foreign Wars. Like, it's like...
Oh, like, so you were at a sock hop.
I was in the basement. There were kids outside smoking cigarettes. There were kids outside drinking from flasks, right? And this is like a birthday party for someone that I knew. And I literally went there and I stayed for 5 minutes and I gave the person my birthday gift. And then I called my mom and I basically was like, can you come pick me up?
Yes. Like, I do find it hard to believe that our lesbian friend is so staunchly anti-pot, and in high school she still hangs out with them.
Yeah, like, it's just, like, she's obviously in her, like, lesbian youth group era, where maybe yes. She thinks she's witnessing. But, like,
anyway, she's being Kristen Applebee's.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Basically... Ben says, you know, someone gave me something at the party last night, whatever. And then, you know, Dylan leaves and she's like, you know, well, Ben recognizes that these people are Dylan's parents. And then Dylan says, hi, King, to Leo as she, like, walks by. And
Brenda Hampton, ahead of her time.
Hey, King.
Hey, King.
And that King was Caleb Heron.
Oh, yes.
So.
Well...
that's it.
What a fucking show, right?
Yep. So fun.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot to ask I didn't ask what you think they were listening to in their pop circle, but I can almost guarantee it was like a G6 and they thought they were the coolest motherfuckers in the world.
Okay. Literally the other day, Chloe had to do a bunch of homework and she was like, you know what song I put on? And then made, like, a Spotify playlist off of. And I was like, what song? And she was like a G6. And I was like,
yes.
We actually have to get divorced now. I'm sorry to say it. But, so, anyway.
Okay. That's Amy it. Jurgens, right? Like.
What can I say? Well, this has been Secret Life of Two Gay American Teenagers. Follow us on Instagram, @YourTwoGayFriends. And that's it.
It really is. You'll see us bright and early here in 2 weeks, probably.
Yeah.
I feel Bye. Like...
Oh,
I was just gonna say, like, I feel like Orpheus in a way. Like, I got out of hell, and then I looked back, and then they dragged me to hell.
See, I don't feel like Orpheus, but I do feel like an orifice.
Oh, yeah.
Bye.
Bye.